If you have your Bible, if you turn with me to the fourth chapter of Matthew today, Matthew chapter 4, can anybody identify with this question here today? Anybody here? Can you get a witness on that? Why is life so hard? Have you asked yourself that question recently? Why does it have to be this hard? That seems like when you have the square implement, that's when they give you the round hole. And they say, well, just figure it out. You think about the things, circumstances. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But I just wonder, how many of us struggled this week with some circumstances that came into your life that came out of left field? You wondered, so where'd this come from? And it showed up on your doorstep. Something happened in your business. Something happened in your home life. Something happened with your friends, with your family, with your children, with your parents, with your best friend, with your next door neighbor. And you just wonder, what in the world is this about? Why is life so hard? And there are times when you feel like they want you to run the 50-yard dash, but they've given you the cement suit to run it in. And don't forget the leg weights. Have you felt like that this week, anybody? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, there are several reasons why life is is hard, and I'm going to read you this passage from Matthew chapter 4. It's also recorded in Luke's Gospel. But Matthew 4, first 11 verses, I'm going to read it out of the New Living today. This is after the baptism of Jesus. He's been baptized. Officially now, he's out in the public. He is. We hear the Father, and hear you, the Father speaks, and for those people who have a problem with the Trinity, here's another passage in the latter part of the third chapter of Matthew, another passage that shows the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in the same passage. The Father speaking, the dove, the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and the Son there being revealed to the world. What a great statement. Immediately after the baptism, this great time, this time where you thought, well, you know, the baptism's taking place. Now it's all peaches and cream. It's all roses with no thorns. Everything's going to be all right. Now listen to the story. Then Jesus was led into the wilderness by Satan. No. By the Holy Spirit to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he ate nothing and he became very hungry. Then the devil came and said to him, I'll stop right there just a moment. Now, the Scripture does not record that the devil attended the baptism. Doesn't record. Now, before you say, oh, but I know he was there. No, we don't. Because there's one quality that the evil one does not have. He is not co-equal with God and everything. The devil can only be in one place at one time. Did you know that? I know some of you are thinking, but Dusty, I'm talking on the telephone with someone across town, and the devil's here with me. I hear him hollering in the background. and I'm talking on the phone with someone, and I think he's over there too. Well, that's right. It isn't just the devil, but he's got all of his demons. all those fallen angels that can be all those places. Now, how many of them are there? Well, it's a third of them, we know from Scripture, that fell from heaven. Because Satan started that thing, I will, I'm going to do this. He was the beautiful one. In fact, he was a worship leader. Okay. So now, at the end of the 40 days, he figures he's got Jesus beat down. This is when he comes. Old Slewfoot coming around, sneaking around, slinking around at that opportune time. Have you ever felt that? That he knows just when to come? At that right moment, that weak time, it's just like it's, you're right at the edge and all it takes is that much to tip you over. That much. Then the devil came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God. What's he started out with at the very beginning? He's blaspheming. If he knows exactly who he is. He knows he's the Son of God. So here he is, the liar and the father of lies, and the first word that comes out of his mouth is a what? A lie. So when he speaks his native language, and what is that? Lies. Lies. If you are the Son of God, change these stones into loaves of bread. And let me ask you, could Jesus have done that? Anytime he wanted. Click, boom, bang. It happens. Could he make you a burnt spot right where you sit? If he wanted to. Click, it's done. Lightning bolt, it doesn't matter. He can find you. You know, he doesn't need any. The first time I saw a cruise missile on video, where they had one of those cameras when the first Gulf War, and they were showing those missiles, that missile that was launched somewhere out in the Mediterranean, it got into downtown Baghdad, and it got right over the street, and then it just took a turn. And it went right to its target within inches of where it been, had the homing system had lit it up. That's a cruise missile. Think God can find you? Light you up? You better believe it. So, change these stones into bread. But Jesus told him. Now note how Jesus responds to the devil. He doesn't respond with, I'm going to kill you. Or I'm going to get you. Or you're going to be a burnt spot. Or whatever. All the things he could have said. He said, no. The Scriptures say people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. He responds with the truth of this word. Now this is the Son of God. This is God speaking out His word. And you know what? If it's good enough for Jesus to respond in that way to an attack from the evil one, then you know, I think it's good enough for us, isn't it? Isn't it appropriate for us to respond in that way? If that's the way Jesus, the Lord of all, who spun this into existence, if He did it that way, it's good enough for me. Everywhere. We're going to come back and talk about each one of these in just a second. Then the devil took Him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and he said, "If you're the Son of God, jump off." Now, I know some of you are wondering, now the devil's taking Him these places. How's the devil doing that? Because it's part of the will of God. Now we can have another discussion at another day about the will of God and the sovereignty of God and His will and how He does things, which I don't begin to understand that, but I'll share my ignorance with you, the things that I've learned and not learned about along the way. But remember at the beginning of this passage how this all began? The Scripture said He was led of the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tested by the devil. All Jesus is doing is keeping the appointment, the plan of the Father for Him out in the wilderness. So as the devil takes Him to that place, it isn't because the devil has power over Him. It's because God has allowed it. God has allowed it. Now think of the things God allows to come to you to test you. Is it about the thing that has come? Or is it about you? And God fashioning you in His image. Did you understand me? So he takes him to the highest point of the temple and he says, "If you're the Son of God, jump off, for the Scriptures say, He orders His angels to protect you. They'll hold you with their hands to keep you from striking your foot on a stone." Is that true? Better believe it's true. But the spirit in which it's come, what's the devil wanting him to do? Dance to my tune. Dance to the tune of the world system. Jesus then responded, "The Scriptures also say, do not test the Lord your God." Now why was he out in the wilderness? What did the Scriptures say? The first verse we read. He was led of the Holy Spirit out there to be. And then Jesus said, "You're not to test the Lord God." So here's the devil again defying the lordship of Jesus with a lie. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain, and he showed him the nations of the world and all their glory. "I'll give it all to you," he said, "if you'll only kneel down and worship me." Now, two things operative here. First of all, I know the first thing that comes to your mind is, well, how is that his to give? He didn't spin the world into existence. Jesus did. Because you know, as it said in the Scripture, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let us make man in our own image." There's Jesus. But what is the devil called in the Scripture? He's called Lucifer, he's called Satan. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's also called the prince of darkness. The prince of this world. So you see, God has allowed him for this time to exert his rule and reign in people's lives. Because what happens if Jesus isn't reigning and ruling in your life? Who is? Oh, you say, well, I'm running my life. Yeah, it's just like everybody's not belonging to Jesus. It's just that their lives just all look alike because they're all headed the same direction on that wide road that leads to destruction. Are you following me here? Okay. So what does Jesus say to this? He says, Satan invites him to kneel down and worship him. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus said. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only Him. Now when Jesus said, get out of here, what do you think had to happen after that? Well, what's the next verse say? Next verse say, then the devil went away. Did he go away because he thought it was a good idea? Because he'd given up. He went away because he was commanded by the Lord Jesus to go away. So, who was in control of this whole thing the whole time? God. That's right. Not the devil. Then the devil went away and the angels came. Remember those angels he talked about? The devil talked about earlier that he's given those angels. Well, now those angels came and cared for Jesus. Now, there's a few things I want to say to you out of this story. Isn't it amazing, though, when you stop and just read through the Word of God and let the Spirit speak to you? What God will say to you? I guarantee you there's at least a dozen of us in this room right now that have read that story many, many times. But God spoke to you in a new way in that passage today. Can I get a witness from anybody in that way today? I know it. I know it. Because God does that with His Word. You can read it hundreds of times. And He still speaks. All right. Why is life so hard? Well, what you're going to say, I want you to see the outline of this message today briefly. We're going to look at how we struggle with the flesh, how we struggle with the world system, and how we struggle with the devil and his angels, his demons. So in those three ways, why is life so hard? Because we're in a battle. We're in a war. We're living in a war zone, and to walk around with our nose stuck up in the air and to think that we can ignore it and it'll go away is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And yet, how many people are living their lives like that? It's a battle that is going on, and we need to recognize the nature of the battle. And the nature of the battle is found in these three ways in which the devil came to Jesus. He first comes to Him and He says, if you're the Son of God, then change these stones into bread. Jesus is very hungry. And Jesus responds by saying, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word that comes from God. So the first place that we struggle is with our own flesh. We struggle with our own choices. Have you struggled with your choices this week? Did you make all good choices in everything you did this week? None of you answer for yourself. Let the spouses answer. Let the family members answer. We don't want to tempt you to lie because we know what the truth is. I'm asking you a question that the answer is obvious. Of course you struggled with your choices. And there's some things you'd have liked to reel it back in and try it again. Thing is, you can't reel it back in, can you? It's out there. Now we've got to deal with it. The flesh. The devil came at Jesus through His flesh trying to tempt Him. Has the devil come at you in your flesh trying to tempt you this week, this past week? Struggle with anything? Now, all of you women here today, I do not know how y'all think. Can I get a witness from any men here today? I celebrated my 33rd anniversary with this woman in the green here this past week. And I love her more today than I've ever loved her before. And God has seen fit to give me a lifetime of exploring the mystery of who she is. There's one thing the Lord has made clear to me as a man and as a husband is that I won't, if I'll pay attention, I'll never get bored. And that's a wonderful gift, isn't it? Because what happens when a man gets bored? That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. Every time I ever got in trouble, it was because I got bored. And I was looking the other way. I was doing something that I shouldn't have been doing. Are you following me? Has God shown you your struggle this week with your flesh? You're struggling in that way. So there, if we just had that to struggle with every week, that makes life hard enough. And isn't it interesting? And I guarantee some of you have felt this week also. If so-and-so would just quit doing that and do right, look how simple our lives would be. Anybody? Anybody? Don't sit there and act like you hadn't thought it. You said it out loud. In fact, you said it to so-and-so several times and thought that so-and-so should listen to every word you said and just, well, I'll just do a 180. But the thing is, so-and-so looks at you and says, no, I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. The flesh gets in the way, doesn't it? All right? Second thing. We all struggle with the world system. The devil takes him to the highest point of his temple. So if you're the Son of God, jump off. Scriptures say, gives his angels charge of you. Will keep your foot from striking against a stone. And Jesus said, the way he said, the Scriptures say, do not test the Lord your God. The world system is infected by the evil one. The world that at times you look at and say, it's stacked against me. It's stacked against me as a believer in Jesus. How many times have you thought about this? Maybe some of you that have been a Christian a long time can think back, some that are recent believers in Jesus. Well, you thought, well, I come to Jesus and I've given him my life and he's convicting me about my flesh and the things that I'm doing and I'm conforming my life to him. And then you walk out into the world and you think, oh, the sun is shining. Everything is glory to God today. And then what happens? Pow! Right in the face. The thing is, nothing has happened in that guy's life that you work with. His life is still bound over to the devil. And to think that he's just automatically going to see that's happening in your life and say, oh, I'm going to go along with you on that. Remember this fella? In fact, he was a second guy that we ever baptized in the history of our church, and had a very nice job here in town, and he was in his middle 30s, got saved. I mean, just a glorious time when God came into his life, changed him, made him a new person. He was on fire for the Lord. He went back to his business And he said, man, I'm going to tell everybody at work about Jesus. He's just changed my life. And he called me several days later. He's all upset. I said, well, what's the matter? He said, Dusty, I don't understand it. I explained it to him. I showed him how God works, how God worked in my life. And he changed my life. And he revolutionized everything about me. He said, you know what? Not a single one of them wanted to hear anything I had to say. He said, how can that be? I said, hold up for a minute. I said, you don't know that they didn't want to hear what you had to say. I said, well, let me ask you a question. When was the first time you realized God started working in your life? He said, well, when I was in that automobile accident 10 years ago. I said, 10 years. I said, 10 years. Let me say it again to you. 10 years. How long did it take for you? How long? But see, the world system is out there stacked against them. And the world system is saying to you, oh, show me what's happened in your life. And often what the world system wants to do is just make fun of you. And they want to manipulate what is going on in your life. And they want to use you often. Have you had that happen? So there's Jesus. Now he struggled. Satan's come at him with the flesh. He's come at him with the world system. Because surely if he cast himself down, and it would show to everybody that he is the Lord. But did Jesus need that? Third thing. We also struggle with Satan and his demons. Jesus takes him to the very high mountain. He shows him the nations of the world, all their glory. He says, I'll give it all to you if you'll kneel down and worship me. And at this point, Jesus says, get out of here, Satan. You must worship the Lord your God and serve only Him. We do struggle against our real devil and real demons. Now listen to me closely on this. Because I dare say for some of you, some of the teaching you've had in your past, people have either minimized the demonic or some have found a demon behind every bush. Neither is true. Because we struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. There are places where I'm convinced demons inhabit. We see it in Scripture. We see places. We also see that demons inhabit people. Do they not? And we also see that in the matter of Christians, that demons can oppress Christians. I don't believe he can possess a Christian, but oppress a Christian. Have you ever wondered how in families things seem to get passed down from generation to generation? Ever wondered about that? This is a very simple explanation, I believe, for that. Now you can take this today, and some of you are going to struggle with some of this. That's okay. But you see it as you look at the Word, and you see, but it's a very simple explanation for me. someone back here allowed demonic presence to come into their life, in certain areas of their life, where the demonic had authority. And what did Jesus say when he was given the Great Commission? He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. So when we give authority over to demonic, you know what needs to happen? It's got to be taken back. It's got to be taken back. And I've seen it through traits in families. Families that say, oh, everybody in that family just has a bad temper. Hogwash. Hogwash. Someone gave in and it's been passed down. It's been passed down through generations. Generational sin. That's why it's very important as parents that you realize what you're passing on to your children. Certain traits, certain things. So where you give authority, there's only one who deserves authority in our lives, and that is Jesus. So it's a very real struggle with the devil and with his angels. Now let's move on. Last question I want to ask you. So how do we get victory over these bad choices that we've made? Number one. We need to start choosing God's way and not our own way. Simple. Do it God's way. Give in to Him, not your own flesh. And if it means there's some areas, well, you know, Brother Dusty, every time I go there, go to that place around these people, then I just can't fight the temptation. Then quit going there. Did you hear me? Because either you change you bringing you out of the situation or you that goes into the situation, one of those things has got to change. Do you understand me? We'll start choosing God's way and not our own way. Well, it's my right. And see, in our nation, in our country, everybody's talking about it's my right. No, it's not. It's God's rights. Number two. We must not let the world system control what we do. Now I'm going to give you one illustration on a large scale. Right now, there are some people in government in these United States, in our Congress, that would like to limit what I say in this church building. Do you know that? I'll show you the legislation that they've already written out. There are countries in Europe today where preachers are limited. Do you know what? In France, that you can't go out on a street corner and talk about Jesus, they'll slam you in jail. Because it's offensive, right? And look at all the other things in the name of tolerance that come in the door. Do you hear me on this? Do you hear me? The world system wants to control you, control your mind, control who you are. As the body of Christ, they'd like to control us. And no matter what political party you happen to go with, you know, I'm with the God party myself. I'm with Him. But because I see politicians that no matter what camp they come from, one thing they're interested in is to get more power from me and to get reelected. And I don't trust that. The world system. We can't let them have control. Number three. How do we get victory over these choices? We must give Jesus and only Him our worship. To worship Him. Now, what is worship? Worship is giving everything that I have, all of who I am, to Jesus. That's why the picture of worship often is outstretched arms with open hands to heaven. Do you understand me? What does that mean? That means my little fingers have been peeled off of all my stuff and all of who I am, and it belongs to God. So when we worship, that's what we're doing. Now, what will the devil come to you and say to get you to come over to his side? Answer, anything he has to. Because he's what? A liar. And when he speaks, what is he speaking? Lies. Jesus says you worship only the Lord. You let go of your stuff. You let go. You let go of the stuff in your life, your possessions. You let go of the grudge that you're holding against this one or that one. You let go of unforgiveness. You let go of all those things. Just think, if the wind of forgiveness blew through Savannah, Georgia today, what would happen? The abuses of the past? The abuses of the present? I prayed this morning as I was reading the newspaper. Our police department in Savannah, Georgia, for this year, has a 38% solve rate on crimes, on murder crimes. That means 62% of the murders that happened this past year in Savannah are unsolved. Is it because that our police department isn't doing everything that they need to do or want to do? I'm sure there's some things they could do better. But I believe they wanted to solve all of them. To read that message from that mom who lost her son here recently down on Henry Street in a hail of bullets. His life snapped away. It just broke my heart this morning as I'm reading that. I'm reading about the crime in the city. And I think 16 murders took place in Savannah, Georgia. What if the Spirit of God blew through this city? What would happen to the murder rate? It'd drop down to zero, wouldn't it? The power of God. I wanted to get it down to an illustration of life and death so you can understand. We're not talking about things that are just, well, I'll get around to that. We're talking about a war zone that is going on in our world, in our nation, in our city, in our community. And you think, oh, it's not going to happen in my community. Look at the map of where crime takes place. In greater Savannah, you know where it's taking place? Everywhere. Everywhere. No one's exempt. That's why the power of the gospel Jesus said, "Get away from me, Satan. Worship the Lord your God and serve only Him." That's my message to you today. In the midst of life being hard, the circumstances being difficult, God's calling on us to call on Him. I know some of you are saying, "Well, Dusty, why doesn't God come into these areas?" Because He wasn't invited. Because He wasn't invited. He's asking us, will you, we sang it a minute ago, will you ride with me into the earth? And I'm asking you that question. Will you ride with Him? Let's bow our heads. Just a moment, we're going to open the altar. Give you the opportunity to come and pray. There are things God's put on your heart today you want to pray about. This is your time. If you want to intercede for the city, if you want to come with some things that the Lord has shown you in your flesh that you need to deal with today. Part of the reason why some of our lives are in trouble is because of choices we make. And then the places where we give in to the world's authority. And then where we have given the devil himself authority in our lives. The altar's open for you today. Come and let God deal with you today. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is the Lord of all. He died on the cross in your place. He arose again on the third day. He ascended back to the Father and today receives all those who will come in faith and trust to Him. He'll come into your life. He'll change you. He'll make you a new person. But you must submit to Him as Lord of your life. Lord, we give you this time now. We ask you to come and speak to us. Come, Lord Jesus. And deal with us as we come to the altar with all sorts of things that are on our minds and hearts. Lord, we submit to you. Jesus, you are Lord over all. In your name we pray. Amen. Look this way, if you will. Has the Lord done anything in anybody's life here today? The answer to prayer? You heard from the Lord today. We come to hear not from Brother Dusty or the worship team. We come to hear from the Lord.